prayed for 7.5 years to see heaven. He was a missionary to the Amazon jungles when God honored his request and took him to heaven for 5.5 earth days. Listen now as Dr. Collet shares this fabulous testimony.
Yes, my dear friends, the jungles of South America are a vast place. Going from the east coast of South America through the great Amazon basin, you've got hundreds of miles of vast territory. While walking through these jungle paths, you would think it was an endless place and no end to it. You keep walking for hundreds of miles, and still the same thing. Trees, valleys, rivers, and Indians. There's over 800 streams empty into the Amazon that makes up this tremendous and large river, the Amazon Basin. This is where this all happened. Now, moving directly into heaven, by and through the precious vision of the Lord, heaven is so gigantic. When you think of the Amazon Basin, 4,000 mile river from the tip of it to the very mouth, you've got a long river winding away up into the Andes Mountains, Pucallpa in Peru, and all these different mountain streams come in to supply the great Amazon River with the biggest body of water flowing in the whole world. Let's switch to heaven and find out how gigantic heaven is. 80 times bigger than the earth. And we're going to take you into the banquet house of heaven tonight and tell you what's going on in there. Now, in my ministry of this heavenly walk, I would like to say, laying on my bed in my room at night, my eyes can go right into heaven, right into the heavens, and look right into heaven any time that I want. Now, this has happened to me now, and this is a tremendous and a great responsibility. I've been given a responsibility upon this earth to be so responsible that where I should put this ministry. The angel of the Lord appeared to me last night, and also my angel, and give me solid, specific instructions. The instructions from the angel of the Lord was that I was to make 5 million albums. 5 million albums. I'll say it again, 5 million albums. They are to be translated in all the languages, the known languages of the world. Because at Babel, God confused the languages of those at the Tower of Babel. Therefore, at Pentecost, they heard them speak, everyone, in their own language. And as I was instructed last night with this tremendous instruction and this tremendous responsibility upon my shoulders, I must be faithful, honest, and I must be true to this great calling. And as these albums, I'm speaking now of albums, there are 12 tapes in an album. They must be translated into every known language of the world, because this is the gigantic message of the last days. During the World's Fair in New York in 1939, I spoke in the Temple of Religion. I was a chosen speaker by the Jewish people, the Catholic people, and the Protestant organization to speak at the twilight hour in the wonderful Temple of Religion, this gigantic Temple of Religion, because I was known in those days as the twilight preacher, preaching. The Queen of England spoke to the world. She spoke to the world, and so did the King of England speak to the world. And as they spoke to the world on the twilight hour of the world, the language was then translated into every known language at that time under heaven. This was not television. This was radio. So then I spoke at the Temple of Religion. It went worldwide. It went into every known language. The message that I spoke and gave at that time was God's place in man's life. With this ministry that goes back since 1921, coming through the years as gone past unto this present day, I have been given this great responsibility, a responsibility to get heaven out to the earth, through the whole earth, during this earth walk. It is a tremendous, tremendous responsibility of which I must carry out according to the glories and the beauties of heaven. If you take your Bible and read in Romans, the 13th chapter, and you read, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." We must make these tapes and this great ministry saturated with love, that it goes out in such a love to the four corners of the earth, into these 5 million tapes. And then from then on, more albums must go out. So it is a gigantic responsibility. In the 10th verse, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." This is the great fulfillment of the reality of God as the gospel has been preached through these years by many God-blessed ministers. And back into the Old Testament to the time of Solomon, here we find there that the church was spoken of in the Songs of Solomon. But first, I'll read another one. "But put ye on Jesus Christ. Put ye on Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Truly, I want to say, the lusts of the flesh have absolutely left my body. I have no more desire for any of these lusts or any of these earthly enjoyments. They've absolutely left me without a question. And I could go through the many things that I used to love to do. But after going into heaven, as which I can take my eyes and look into the glorious parts of heaven, I'm set aside by God to serve Him and to bring this message to the earth, the great message of heaven, because this is the place being prepared where you may go, because God is prepared the place through creation. Jesus is the great architect. And now, who did I see in heaven? Let me give you some thoughts I saw in heaven. In heaven I saw Solomon, David, Queen of Sheba, and many of the men who lived in that day. This may surprise you to know that Solomon's face was black and dark. Oh, what a thing. Now, here was a black man. Can you imagine that, Solomon being a black man? I saw him in heaven, and his face just looked like he had been in the sun. So beautiful black was Solomon. And then, you know, see, but David, I saw David, and David's face was white. Now, isn't that something to know of these things in heaven? So, you know, this is what I call desegregation glorified. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. Solomon's face was a rich, beautiful black, as if it had been sunburned. David's face was white, and I also saw Solomon's mother. My, who in the world was Solomon's mother? You know who Solomon's mother was. But she was, I'm sorry to say, she was in the outer perimeter, waiting instructions. Why? Because I don't know, but that's where she was. I saw Solomon's mother, who was in the outer perimeter, a love with many other in the Africans. There is a very large banquet room in heaven. In the banquet room, so here's where I saw Solomon, inside the banquet room. My, what a place. And David was in there with Solomon in the banquet room. Now turn your Bibles, if you open them up, to the Songs of Solomon. This is a wonderful. And here's what it says. "I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon." Oh, I want to tell you, thousands of concubines. Thousands of them. Just in the outer perimeter. How is it that they are in the outer perimeter? Waiting for the great judgment throne of God. Then in the second chapter, here it speaks. I won't read it all. You can take it yourself. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now, in this part of the Songs of Solomon, we find and clearly find this is the church loved by Christ. The graces of the church and Jesus Christ foresaw this great church of his body, of Jesus Christ, his body. Jesus loves his body. That's you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you with all his heart because we're bought with a price. And then I saw all of this wonderful. Now, how Solomon got in heaven without being applied to blood, I don't know. You ask that. They didn't tell me that, but he's there. And in the banquet room, because it must have been a special reality of God. But Solomon's body was not there. Just his soul was there. But it was not in the outer perimeter. The soul of Solomon was in the banquet room. Now, when you try to figure out in your earthly mind the length of heaven, being 2 million miles around it, and then right in front, many million miles around it, and when you think of the great long rows of mansions, and you walk on the streets of gold, you walk on them and they're pure gold, but then you go down a great big staircase, a staircase right behind these mansions. And here is the great banqueting house in heaven, with rows and more rows and more rows and more rows of tables. And in this banqueting house in heaven, being 1 million miles long. 1 million miles, a banquet room that big, it's going to take it that big to house, to sit down, all those been redeemed by Jesus. A countless number sitting down there in the great banquet room of heaven, and the great banners just flying over the top there in the ceiling, which is the floor of heaven. No beams down there, so it's held up by the power of the Lord. No beams in your way, no beams at all. And here was Solomon down in there. He must have been having a kind, because Solomon, I want to tell you, built a great temple. So he's used to great big things. But that was a lot bigger than Solomon ever built, I'll tell you. And there is the banquet room in heaven. Right under the streets of heaven is the great banqueting room. So he brought me into the banqueting room. And his banner, he brought me into the banqueting house, to the banqueting room, to the banquet where the great, after the supper of the Lamb, after the great supper and the wedding in heaven, after this great, then we transfer, and it won't stop then. We'll have a great, big, big, big banquet room to go in and enjoy the presence of the Lord and the presence of one another. But this giganticness of this, so then I was invited into the banquet room, invited in there, and Solomon has a job taking care of that. Solomon is the chief custodian of the banquet room. My, he's well able to do it because he really knew how to put on banquets. Solomon did, so he knew exactly how to do it. And I sat down with Solomon on one side and King David on the other. Oh, I want to tell you the word David there sitting down. Can you imagine having the privilege to sit down between Solomon and David in the banqueting room? And you know, it was only just about one-tenth full. It wasn't too many in there. Look, I'll tell you, there was a lot of empty spaces in that banquet room. But he said, our God that we got keeps every time a soul's being saved, the banquet room, it enlarges itself a little longer. So there's going to be a lot of room in that banqueting room for you to go. You cannot miss heaven. Now, in this wonderful ministry that the Lord has told me to participate in, looking into heaven. So can you imagine being able to lay on a bed and take your eyes and look right into heaven? I cannot be the same anymore. It's impossible for me to be the same. So then we must prepare a place. As they're preparing in heaven a place for us to dwell, we absolutely must prepare a place where we can fix all of these albums where we can fix them all, because it's going to become very, 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 very gigantic. It's going to be so gigantic that you're going to have such vast, vast operation, because we've got to cover the world. Can you imagine having to cover the world? Because now, who is there such a thing as a whoremonger in heaven? Did you mean to say you saw whoremongers in heaven? I saw whoremongers in heaven. My, now, doesn't that blow your mind? But it did. I saw them in there. Listen to this. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So the judgment thrown of God is in heaven, so they have to go to heaven before the judgment. How else can they do? And here was that, many of those ones that have been whores, that have been prostitutes in heaven. Why had they gone into heaven? Because they had been born again, they had been filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and they had had enough instructions of the throne of God, and a lot of them come out of Brazil. Now, I'll tell you, Brazil's going to have more, I believe, more representation of the present time of converted prostitutes, converted and made ready. Now, that proves and shows to me God is no respecter of person. You know, it wouldn't be, for instance, that the deacon in the church with the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful altars and all that and all those kind of things. And I saw an old deacon in there, you know, sitting right there in the outer perimeter, right out there. Why? He'd been a good deacon, all right, but he was good on Sunday morning. But watch out what he did all week. That's what it was that put him in the outer perimeter. So what it is a seven-day week operation of the Spirit of the Lord in order to stand before the throne of God. Now, the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh are a work of the flesh. If we adhere to the lusts of the flesh, then, of course, we'll go to heaven all right, because we've been washed in the blood. You'll go to heaven, but you've got 1,000 to 1,500 years, almost to 2,000, wait in the outer brimmer to get inside before the throne of God. So I would like to say that it's very essential that you get in a good teaching word church, a good place where you can hear the word of the Lord. I'm sitting in a sanctuary right now where they've just had a service, but I want to tell you, you've got to enlarge these sanctuaries, you've got to enlarge them, and you've got to make ready for giving a lot more teaching, because out of the belly of God's ministers, very shortly is going to flow the rivers of living waters, and there'll be tremendous teaching going on all over the world, preparing a great group of people ready to go right inside heaven that won't have to go into the outer perimeter, that'll go right inside heaven and fill that banking and house up. So where will the people go that's in the outer perimeter to get ready? God's very clever on making everything bigger than he's made. He'll make that banqueting room big enough to accommodate everything, because God is a gigantic God. Going back to the jungles of South America, I would like to say that in the Indians there, they've just made some moving pictures. They made one of, a gentleman made one there not too long ago, a Christian gentleman. And I guess he spent about $22,000 preparing that, and you know he didn't get one picture of an Indian. And then this other one's just spent about $2 million with a gigantic moving picture of the jungles of South America. And I watched it for about a half an hour the other night, and I didn't see one Indian on that television. He'd have loved to had it. But I tell you why. Because the Indians in the jungles of South America, they have been taught to serve the Lord, get away from all their lusts. They're holy, they're dancers, they pray, and they've been made many. So there's going to be many. Now, in the banquet room, there when I was sitting there, here come one of my Indians. I'm telling you, he put his arms around me, and he says, "Thank God and thank you for coming to the jungles to tell us about Jesus." Because, I mean, you know, that was wonderful to that Indian to come to me and thank me. And I said, "Don't thank me, thank Jesus, my brother." But he kept on thanking me, and he couldn't stop hugging me in heaven. And it's going to be a hugging scene up there. When we come in there, I'll tell you, there'll be neither male nor female, and you can hug one another half an hour or an hour at a time or 2 hours' time. It won't bother the lust because there'll be no lust in heaven to bother you. And that's the most wonderful reality about it, because heaven's pure, it's real, no lust up there. And you say, won't they make any babies in heaven? No. God wants more babies, and he can create a million of them if he wants them. That's how the great God that I serve. So there'll be none of that stuff in heaven. It'll be absolutely pure, holy, clean, and all that stuff kind of stuff will leave the minds of men, and they'll be worshiping the living God forever and ever. The purity, the purity. You know, one time there back in my ministry, I met a man, and he said, I send my children, he said, to where the nuns are. And he was not a Catholic, he was a Protestant. I said, why do you do that? He says, for the purity of the sisters, because I know there's those sisters down there, their life is set aside, and they have no lust at all, they're holy, and it's a good place to get your schooling. Well, you see, he wanted the purity. He wanted no lust in his children. Those children were raised up to be great men and women of God. They didn't indoctrinate him in any way, because it was a school that was located in very much of a Protestant section, but they had that good school. So then I was in the banqueting room. Now, I've seen many nuns in Brazil filled with the Holy Ghost, many priests. So I had a great time on about the third day, because I'm going 24 hours a day. There was no night there, so I'm going about 24 hours a day. And here came this nun. Now, I'll tell you what it was. I was in Quibdó in Colombia, and they needed a water system. And they had to, and I knew how to put water system in, because the water was bad in a place called Quibdó. So the only place I could sleep was in the priest's bed. And the priest was gone over to America, and they had three nuns there, and they took care of me there. And they fixed my breakfast, and they did everything. And I tell you, there was three real pure women. And they washed my underwear, did it for me, and here I'm sleeping in the priest's bed, just fixing a water system for them. But then, while I was in the bed, here come these three nuns, all gone to be with Jesus, said, you know, we drank that water, and it was pure, and we just wanted to give you a big hug and a love and a kisses from us. And you know, that's what it's going to be in heaven. It's going to be the pure in heart that'll see God. It's not going to be those that got hooked up with an organization. No organization going to put you in heaven. No man-made thing's going to put you in heaven. No man-made law going to put you in heaven. Because Paul and Silas, when they were in jail, they stood and put trust in prayer to heaven, the prayer bells of heaven. They were praying. And they man-made law couldn't hold them in there. And that's exactly right. No man-made law is going to get you in heaven. No man-made bylaw. Only the Bible truth, the Word of God, the blood shed at Calvary, and the blood of Jesus Christ that paid the price is going to get you into heaven. So then, here came a man that worked with me in the jungles, and I tell you, I had a homecoming. I tell you, I mean, I had a homecoming up there. And I can take my eyes and look right into heaven, not the fullness of heaven, but I can look right through the darkness of this earth, and in a second, my eyes are turned to the heavens. The beautiful, and it's so bright and so beautiful colors. So, as far as this world's goods is concerned, as far as the things of this world, as far as the things of this world, anything, no matter what it is, I have no desire for it whatsoever. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. I want to conduct my ministry that the Lord has given me in a clean, decent, holy way, in a holy way that God has told me to do. And I tell you, I've got a responsibility. And I want you to tell your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones about these albums, because it must go out, because the angel of the Lord said, you must. To use the word, you must. Now, when you get a declaration of an order from heaven, you'd better carry it out. You can get it, too. God may order you to do something. And during this great explosion, a lot of men's going to get orders what to do. And they're going to carry out their orders for God, because this is going to happen. And this is where the great power of command is going to take place. And in this great power of command, be able to command. Oh, that's coming to the earth, the great power of command. And in this power of command, there's no evil thing will be able to stand up against the power of the command of the man and the woman of God who has been used, who God's using to help bring this message to the four corners of the earth. Now, I had also a vision way over there in the Orient. And I had this vision clear, and then it came to me as clear. And it was way over in the Orient, and it looked like it was 100, the Orientals. They could have been Chinese, or they were not Japanese. They could have been Chinese from Indonesia. And the tapes were being put into their language, and they were playing it in the room. And they were all just around with their ears, and some of them had hands over their ears, and they were listening to what these tapes were saying. Just think of that ministry, what it's going to do. Just think when these albums get into the hands of the four corners of the earth, the people, this will be one of the greatest and most powerful reality and the most powerful record of heaven going out. Because you take the Confucianists, and you take the Arabs, and you take the Muslims, and you take all these different legends, every one of them believe there's something beyond this earth. Even the Indians in South America, before even the gospel of Jesus Christ was brought there, they knew there was something up there, and they knew there was life. But, of course, what they were doing, which is upon the hearts of the people of this earth, they're trying to seek the things which is above, to find out what's up there. The astronomers and the astrologers, they've been doing that, going up to find out what's beyond this earth. But I've been there, and I know what I talk about. I've been to heaven. I know exactly what it's like. And this will be the answer to their inquiry of what is up above. And this is the answer they required. Now, I want you to think of the responsibility. There was men called, there was Simeon, who, with his almost blind eyes, picked up Jesus. There he had a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And he looked in with his eyes and he said, "Behold, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." There was Ezekiel at his part. Ezekiel had his part, Paul had his part, and all of the prophets, Jeremiah, and King Solomon, and David, all of these men and women had their part of the great ministry which is coming to a climax today, everyone. And this, what has been put upon my shoulders, I want to tell you, is gigantic, and I must follow out these instructions. Absolutely, as God has told me, and the time will come when there will be maybe 200 or 300, who knows, only God, 200 or 300 men, women, who is helping produce these tapes and producing them and putting them to the four corners of the earth. And they'll let them in. And I know they're going to go into Russia. I'm positive. I'm positive they're going to go into China. How am I so positive about this? Because this message is going to sweep those leaders off their feet. They're not going to take a chance. When they listen to these tapes, they're going to listen because they themselves have been trying to find out what's up there. Even the Russians have been trying. They're putting satellites up there, Sputniks, or what they call them, up there to find out. But I want to tell you, they've just gone just a little dribble up there, not gone very far. So they do want to find out what's up there. And these tapes are explaining what is up there. And this is why it's a responsibility, amen, to get this message into the hands of these leaders, that the whole world will be turned upside down, inside out, by the power of the living God. So this, please be in a part of this. Get these albums and listen to them and give them to your neighbors. Let your neighbors get them and listen to them. Put them down the street in the neighbor's house. It'll flood the world because definitely it is the last message of the last days. This is the last days. God bless you. May God bless you is my prayer. Yes, friends, heaven has the most beautiful, beautiful perfumes and the most beautiful, beautiful odors of any place you could ever imagine. The beautiful flowers smell so good. And I know that some of our Indians are already there. And I'll tell you, when the thousands of Indians go there, they're going to perfume that place up. I found a scripture that kind of fits the situation. It's in the third chapter of Solomon and the sixth verse. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with the powders of the merchants? We, the Indians, love powders. And I tell you, they powder themselves. They make it. We've taught them how to manufacture it. And they take the flowers and they put them in this powder. And they, when they take a bath, they just scatter the whole body with powder. And I'll tell you now, this fits the situation. It's all right, but you can use your own judgment. Behold the bed which is Solomon, 70 valiant men and are about it, and the valiant of Israel. They hold swords. They all hold swords. Now the earthly sword, me, is the sword of authority, the sword of authority. That's why Solomon saw some way that the sword represented power. So in heaven, the archangels, many of the angels, have flaming swords. And these flaming swords are powerful swords. That's God's authority, because God is a consuming fire. Now, in the jungles of South America, fire is a great power. And we do have Indians that have flaming torches. And when they come through with those flaming torches, you better get out of the way, because that's power. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath a sword upon his thigh because of fear of the night. The fear of the night. So then, in the jungle, the fear of the night, because the wild animals will attack you at night, and so then fire turns the wild animals away. One time I was in a hammock, and hanging between two trees, covered with a heavy skin over the top. And this leopard jumped right on me in the night. And you know why that leopard jumped on me? Because the fire had gone out. And when you let the fire go out, you got nothing but dead. King Solomon made himself a chariot. Oh, listen, he made himself a chariot. And King Solomon said, I didn't bring my earthly made chariot up here. He said, look at these chariots up here. They're more beautiful and more real than what I made. But here's the way he made it. King Solomon made himself a chariot of wood of Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. I was in Lebanon and saw those great cedars. And he got a lot of those cedars out of Lebanon to build a temple. He made the pillars thereof of silver. Now, Solomon had a lot of silver. And the bottom thereof of gold. He had a chariot with a gold bottom to it, and cover of it in purple, and the midst thereof being paved with love, for the daughters of Jerusalem. Now, there is Solomon's chariot. Now, Elijah went up in a chariot. And if you could see one of those heavenly chariots coming down out from over and above the throne of God and sweeping right down into the banquet room. The doors of the banquet room are big enough, and there's transportation to go out through the other door, and you've got complete passage all the time from any part of heaven. I'll tell you, heaven's a gigantic place. Can you imagine how beautiful it's set up? You talk about a train system, and you talk about a system in heaven. Here are these chariots making every minute. Here comes that chariot flying through the banquet room, over the top of the banquet table, and all you got is just step out and sit down at the table. You see, God's got it fixed so he can entertain you. Heaven is a place of entertainment. It's not just a place where God's going to entertain us up there. He's going to fix everything for us so we have perfect, perfect satisfaction. Perfect satisfaction without any flaw whatsoever. Now let's see what Jesus said. Oh, I love to bring Jesus in the picture. Jesus took a flower, just an ordinary flower. Jesus loved flowers, and he set that flower in front of him. And he said, Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. It said that flower didn't have to do anything. It was God clothed that flower. God made that flower grow. And he said, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed. So you just take the rose upon this earth, or the tulip, or the any kind of flower, the orchid, or anything. And the jungles are full of flowers. I'll tell you, God's blessed those jungles with flowers, because the jungles supply one-third of the oxygen of the world, as I told you before. You operate on a person in the jungles that lives in the jungles, their lungs are fire red. But you operate in somebody that lives in a town in the United States, and their lungs have turned brown, because all of this fumes coming out of automobiles. So we're living in a contaminated place. But there's no contamination in heaven, I want to tell you. Now, here are the flowers of heaven. Jesus loves flowers. So as I told you before, I walk through with Jesus in the back of the throne of God, through the beds and beds of beautiful flowers, smelling so good and so real. Isn't that an entertainment for God to do all that for us? And we don't have to close it. We don't have to set up anything to make it work. We don't have to do any scientific, boy, the scientists are trying to make flowers grow better, and they're trying to give us a food supply. And I'll tell you, the whole thing's disintegrating. It's coming to naught. Man has been so wise in these things, and a lot of things, time is winding up. Destruction in the land. God's going to move his hand, for time is winding up. Times are winding up, friend, and it's going to happen. And when the great shaking takes place, we told you an explosion takes place, going to shake the foundations of this earth. So back into heaven. Now, perfect God has fixed heaven up. How perfect he's done this. And how perfect Jesus has done the wonderful instructions. Such a perfect place. Why do we want to mess so much time down here trying to fix things down here? Now, I want to tell you, when some beautiful mansions up there, it has no desire, it has no power over me whatsoever. I want to tell you, this earth has not got a bit of power over me. Not a bit. I'm absolutely set aside for God to complete the work that he's given me. Because I know I got a place there. I got the most beautiful mansion up there. I saw my own mansion. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. And I mean, it's gorgeous, it's real, and God sure wouldn't fix a mansion for me if I'm not going there. I know that. He's not going to leave my mansion empty. It's going to be occupied by me. And I'm going to have lots of souls in there. And just think of it. When this great, big, gigantic ministry of these tapes and albums get going, just think of all the souls going to be saved. I'll tell you, I'll need a big mansion up there to take care of those souls, I'm telling you, up there in heaven. This is what is happening. It's gigantic. So I'm preparing, as Jesus said in the 14th chapter of St. John, in my Father's house are many mansions. I've quoted that many times, but not so I would have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. But I want to tell you something. Jesus has a mansion. Jesus has a mansion in heaven. That's what I want to tell you about tonight, the mansion that Jesus is going to occupy. Of course, he sits on the right hand of God, but he also has a mansion, because we will entertain one another in our mansions. And if you could ever see in your mortal eyes the mansion of Jesus, the mansion of Jesus so gigantic and big, and it's floating right over the top of all of our other mansions, and it's big enough to hold all that want to visit Jesus in his mansion. But you'll walk with him and you'll talk with him. You'll walk. He'll come from the greatness of God, from the greatness of the right hand of God. He'll come down and he'll walk with the most lowly of all of those upon this earth. So then Jesus said, bring me over one of your Indians. Just bring me over one of your Indians, Percy. And here was about 20 of them sitting over there. And I went and got this Indian, brought him to Jesus. Oh, Jesus put his arm around that Indian. Put his arm around that Indian, Oh, what a welcome. What a welcome. But here's the thought that I want to give you tonight, is that person in those different countries that you carry the missionary message to, whether it's Haiti, whether it's South America, whether it's India, whether it is the four corners of the earth, you go there for a purpose, to tell them about Jesus and make them ready to go into heaven. Of course they're hungry. You can feed them. God will supply all the food to feed them. We're in a program right now to make a former of food that's very simple and very plain to feed the poor of the world. Of course, we feed them. But the main part is to get their soul ready for heaven. And when you get their soul, can you imagine sitting, maybe that I sat among the Indians, one place I sat there, and where we were there among the headhunter tribes, and here I had about 20 of them sitting around with me, and I was sitting down talking to them, and they were all gathered around me. I was telling about heaven. And you know, some of those Indians are gone. They've left this world and gone. Everybody has a ministry. My calling was to carry, and is still the message, to carry this wonderful gospel to these precious people. So then in heaven there, they're going to be there. And I saw some of them there. Saw some of them there as I saw them, and their faces were so bright and so beautiful. They were so happy because they'd made it not in the outer perimeter, but through the message we'd given to them, they had made it up before the throne of God. Hallelujah. So God's no respecter of person. So you may go to these countries, you may go to Haiti, you may go to South America, you may go to Brazil, and you might have a whole little group of little black children, their mothers and fathers. But you know what? You preach the gospel to them, and you tell them the truth, and let them get there. They won't have to go in the outer perimeter. They'll be right there and before the throne of God. And maybe that man that's been in that church for many years and never served God fully, but dabbled with the world and got him three or four women beside his own wife messing around out there. He's been washed in the blood, but I want to tell you something. He's going to have a time having instructions up there. He's going to have a time waiting to be prepared to go before the throne of God. And then there's going to be this judgment. Now, can you imagine? Right there in the Bible, speaking about the whoremongers and the different ones. And the only place that judgment is going to take place, it's not going to take place on this earth. That judgment begins at the house of God, and that is the house of God. That's the house of God. So then I read this inscription. I read the inscription across above the altar. This is the house of God. This is the house of God. This church we're making this in now is the house of God. But that's the gigantic house of God. And it says judgment will begin at the house of God. And that is God's house up there. And then that judgment takes place. I'll tell you, the separation is going to be a terrible time. And that separation of the goats and the sheep. That's what it is. I'll tell you, I like good goat and eat goat. I like goat when it's barbecued. It's good eating. I've eaten a lot of goat. But this is a different goat. This is a devil's goat, not the goat of the food we eat down here, the sheep, but it's a goat. But it's a type of the one that's going to be the left-hand side of God and cast into the bottomless pit. And that'll be an awful time. So here's the way it'll happen, though. When we come up before that judgment throne of God, God will say to some, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Well, as I've said before, it's the crooked politicians, and God showed me the crooked politicians are the workers of iniquity. And they'll get it sometimes. I have to say this because I've been told to say it. They'll get on the television and they get on there and just be so holy. I'm telling you, they can get as holy as they can be. They can quote the Bible. And once they get elected, as I told you before, watch out. Because there are honest men, but you see, power is a dangerous thing in the hand of an ungodly man. Power is a dangerous thing in the power of an ungodly man. Now this, what I'm doing is power. I want to explain this to you. It's power. Power from heaven, I'm talking about. Power from heaven. This message is powerful enough to change the minds of millions. To change the minds of millions. So am I going to use that power for myself? No way. No way. I want to, and I will. I not say I want to. I will walk humbly before God. I'll walk humbly before Him. And God hears my words and carry this message as it has been told to this earth. I want nothing of this world's goods. None of it. If I can swallow a little cabbage or a little meat and just have a place to lay down, just a place for abode for me, that as long as I'm on this earth, that's what I want, because I've seen my mansion. And whenever you get a glimpse of your mansion, I'm telling you, just one glimpse of your mansion in heaven, you'll have no desire for earthly things down here anymore. Because this is just a place of preparation. This is a place to prepare for the great ultimate heaven. Heaven, heaven, heaven. Now, one other beautiful reality I want to tell you about heaven is that the gate that will be opened up. The gate will be opened up where the flood waters flood through. Now, that's not the main gate. It's all really the main gate, but I mean it's a part of the main gate. And there that gate is shut. And there's just about a little bit underneath the bottoms of those gates where the Spirit of God is seeping through. Is seeping through there and coming through down on this earth. But when God Himself, not Jesus, God Himself is going to reach His hand. He doesn't have to come off the throne. He will just stretch out His hand. God can stretch His hand out clear across. And with the great creation that He has, He'll reach out and open those two floodgates. And when He does, that river of life, that Spirit of God, will come, gigantically down upon this earth, to every part of it, in the jungles of every part of this earth, flood this earth with the power of God. And I'll tell you, the devil then is going to move back and let the great explosion, and we'll call it a revival if necessary, the great revival, get through. And I'll tell you, when you get in that, you'll have no desire of this earthly reality here, because there is absolutely no desire in my heart. Now, I had an experience one time. I think a good car on the road is a Cadillac. I believe it's a good car. But one time I was driving through the state of Ohio, and I was about 20 minutes late on an appointment, and about 20 minutes late, I said, "Jesus, get me there." I'm telling you this, God picked my car up, me and the whole business, and floated me over the top of the houses and set me within just a few feet of where my appointment was going to be. And that was an experience. So I had a ride down on this earth, what I got picked up. And picked up by the power of God, car and all. Not just me, car and all got picked up. And I sailed through the air, so I had some experiences sailing through the air before I went to heaven. And when I got back home, I told my wife, she says, "You know, when you started here, and you know how long," said, "I heard you on the radio, and you know how long it took?" Said, "It took you 7 minutes to go there." And says, "How did you ever get there so quick? Because I know what time you left here." I said, "I floated, the car and all, went over the top there, and I got there in time." These are the phenomenal things that happen upon this earth. You can go through the Bible and see what happened in the Bible. Some of the greatest miracles. And I'll tell you, God would have never took that old car inside of heaven because it wouldn't have got it. He may have took it, and I don't know. He'd have to transform it into a chariot if I'd have got up there. But that was a feeling. So this is exactly what Elijah did. Now, you see, it's Bible. This is exactly what Elijah did. There was Elijah on this earth, and just there, and there was Elisha. And so he got talking about it. Elisha got talking to Elijah, and he knew he was going up. His father, he was like his big brother. And he said, "What do you want, Elisha? Just a double portion of the Spirit that you got. Just a double portion of the Spirit you got." And he did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Now, that's what do you want to do miracles? What do you want to do to heal the sick? What do you want to do to have a powerful ministry? Just get more of the power of the Spirit of the Lord in your life, and it'll work. I've tried it, and I know what I'm talking about. It'll work. Through the Spirit, because we're not, when we're baptized, I've said before, we are baptized into a spirit world. Being baptized, so heaven is spirit. Heaven is all spirit. You got a body, all right, but God is a spirit. Now remember that God the Father is a spirit, although He has a being, although He has a wonderful being, wonderful body, although He has a wonderful body, He has a shape, He has a body, but God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must, it doesn't say, it says must, worship Him in spirit, don't stop there, and in truth. So the worship of the Lord is a worship of the Spirit. A double portion. Just get your bodies filled overflowing with the glorious Spirit of the Lord, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking of the tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And I want to tell you, friends of there out and listening to my voice, I want to tell you something. Just get the Spirit of God in your church. Just get the Spirit of the Holy Ghost going through your baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit give utterance, because that's what in heaven. Now you learn how to speak in tongues through the Spirit, not in your own flesh. You learn it in the Spirit. You learn it. Behold, the Lord saith unto thee, prepare thyself for thy heavenly place. Prepare thyself and be ready. Prepare thyself, yea, call upon the living God. Be filled with the Spirit, be filled with His love, be filled with the joy, and ye shall receive a great reward from God Himself, because ye shall be caught up with the Lord, and caught up and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For judgment begins at the house of God. Friends, in Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, make this possible. Lord Jesus, I pray for these souls out there that's now standing in the place of decision. What shall I do? What shall I do, Jesus? That woman right now, you that are in the kitchen preparing your food for your husband or for your children, listening to this tape, stop the fire, turn it off a minute, and get down on your knees right now and say, Jesus, I need your Holy Ghost. Jesus, I need the Comforter. I need the Holy Ghost. Get speaking in tongues right in your house. And when your husband comes home to that lunch, put your arms around him speaking in tongues, and you'll do something. Because this explosion is a part of the Holy Ghost. Speaking in other tongues as the Spirit give utterance. And I want to tell you, glory to God in the name of Jesus, because this is the heavenly language. What language will they speak in heaven? The language of the Holy Ghost. And I told you I saw the Holy Ghost in heaven. So then you get in heaven, and it's so in order. There's nothing confusion about it. So in order. When you speak in God's language, you know exactly what you said. That's the most wonderful part about it. Down here, we interpret it. We bring it out in English and interpret it. An interpreter. We have interpreters, and I just interpreted my own speaking in tongues as God put it into my body. I interpreted. And that's God's language. I interpreted in English. But up there, we'll need no more English. We'll need no more French. We'll need no more German, no more English, none of the earthly language. We'll not need any of them. Even Hebrew will not be there, because Jesus spoke out of heaven in the Hebrew tongue to Paul. But the only language that will be spoken in heaven is the language of God. So then they have a language school up there, a language school. My, they got all kinds of language schools down here. Try to learn a little French, learn a little German, learn a little Yiddish, learn these, and what a job it is. I went through the jungles and got a tribe among a tribe of Indians, and there was no university or place to learn their language. No way. But you know what? In just a few days, I was speaking fully that language of those Indians, hallelujah, and preaching to them in a few days. Why? Because it came to me through the Spirit of the Lord. We had a little Indian girl down there who had never spoken a word of English, under the power of God laying down, and she come out speaking in perfect English. If that isn't a faith builder, I don't know what is. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. We couldn't see her, how she got it done, only that we know she learned to speak English through the Spirit of the Lord. And that little girl was in Leticia, come there, and praise God. After that, she did a little private study in herself, and she speaks perfect English today. But she started it by prophecy when she was laying there under the power of the Lord in the jungles. Those jungles are a vast place. But you can put 1,000 jungles, 1,000,000 jungles up in heaven, and you can't find them, because heaven's so big. So going back up into heaven with God's heavenly language, Can you imagine all of that beautiful, beautiful singing, all going in God's language, and everybody understanding what they're saying? Everybody understanding word for word. As they do it, it's the most wonderful reality. Quanabura, quanabura, tibala, kama, se, quadabula, quadabula, reborn, reborn. Now, that's not the heavy language. That's the language of one of the Indians. But you know, God knows every language. I'll tell you, this makes my toes are wiggling right now, and I just can't help it. I'll tell you, it's good. This feeling, you say there's feeling to it? There's feeling all over my body right now as the power of the Lord is upon me. And I can see right now, my eyes are closed, and I can see right now a vision before me now. And here's what that vision says, get ready. Get ready, my people. I'm seeing these words in front of me. Get ready, my people, and I can see those eyes right in front of me. The eyes of Jesus. Get ready, my people, get ready, my people. For the time is short. And when the Jew and the Arab dance before the wailing wall together and worship in the same house of the Lord, then I will come. I will come and bring my people home because I am ready to come. Make the earth ready. Make the people ready because I'm ready to come and bring you home to me. Jesus is our leader. Let him bring us home. Thank you, Jesus, for this message. I praise you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. Father God in heaven, how precious you are. Now, friends, do you want to go to heaven? I know you do. Right now, please get on your knees. Please get on your knees. And get on your knees right now, or any way you want to do, and call on God. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I ask you to wash me in thy blood. I believe now that there is a heaven. Pray this prayer for me, with me. I pray now, and I know now there's a heaven. I've heard this message about heaven. I ask you, Jesus, to save my soul. Will you say it now? Save my soul, Jesus, save my soul, and make me whole, and make me ready to come into your heavenly home. Make me ready to come into your heavenly home, O Jesus, save me. And you, young man that's in the prison, when you're in that prison house, just get on your knees and call upon Jesus, because heaven is for you. Heaven is made for you that you may come to the heavenly portals of the living God. Heaven is for you, so you just do it right now. Get your Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, get a Bible and start reading it. Start reading the New Testament all the way through. And don't just say, well, I don't want to prepare myself, I'm too busy. Don't say, well, I just married a wife and I got to stay with her got a honeymoon going. Get your Bible now and start reading along with that new wife of yours or that new husband. Get whatever you're doing, get your Bible and do it, and you'll be ready. And I believe right now that you're getting saved. You're getting ready for heaven because you're begin to be born again. Right now you know what I'm telling you is the truth. Get born again. Ye must be born again. Born of the water and the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God come in your life, and be thou made whole and ready for heaven in Jesus' name. God bless you is my prayer. May God bless you and keep you always and forever. Amen, amen, and amen.